lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
Guys, welcome back. 2025, we're here.
We're back.
2025.
Motorsport Republic podcast. Special guest today, guys, Mark Bandanaman and Danby on for a yarn. So looking forward to that.
Boys, thanks for having me back on.
That's all right. Well, thank you for coming. We're going to cover a few things today. We're not a pre-season pod as such. It's more of a...
It's a pre-season pod.
Pre-season. We've given Daniel the summer off, so he'll be back at some time this year. We'll keep you notified of that.
The heat's got to him. It's bloody hot. Yeah, it's getting to all of us.
It is. No air kind of Benzina, unfortunately. But yeah, it's been good to be back.
Yeah, how's everyone's summer breaks been?
Yeah, well, mine's been good. I feel like I haven't started mine yet, though.
You know what's been the topic of discussion? Getting ready for Thailand. Yeah, mine, MotoGP, because we're
going. Happening there, Thailand.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't
MotoGP,
know.
MotoGP, look out.
Yeah, so Danby's coming with us.
I'll be
Danby's
there.
Coming.
Motorsport Republic is going to Burium.
Yep. Motor Heaven's going as well.
Motor Heaven as well.
Adrian's coming, so that's exciting. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. How was your summer, Jimmy boy?
Yeah, it was good, mate. Went up to Harvey Bay. Saw my old man there. Rode his ex-Diavel. I think it's an ex-Diavel. Played by the pool, watched the cricket. Watched the Aussies get up against the Indians. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good summer for cricket, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. It was just good to chill out. It was good to get away for a bit. What about you?
Yeah, my summer sort of starts in the next couple of weeks. I turn 30 in about 10 days. So looking forward to that big party happening. So having a week off and then, the 27th of February, we're off, boys. So.
Are you going to try and live stream it and make money like Vince McMahon did for Triple H and Stephanie McMahon's wedding? He said he wanted to put it on Main Event and make money on it.
Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing about that.
Put it on Main Event.
You're going to see some midlife crisis on that fucking day, that's for sure.
On Tom?
Know. Really cool. Curtis,
sorry, I just swore there.
Curtis is gonna have his first beer. I'll be super excited about that.
Oh, you know what I ordered today? Curtis's birthday present.
Oh, it's coming.
We got you a birthday present, and we're gonna put
run,
it on
mate,
the pod.
Run while you can. I've heard it. I've got
and
into this.
And I'm being dead serious here. I think I could talk for you as well, Tom. Extremely jealous of what we're getting you.
I don't know if I should be scared.
I've tested it already. So it looks going to look new in the packaging, but it ain't new.
Yeah.
It ain't new.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not happy about this. Oh, no.
Bandanaman, what about yourself? How was your summer so far?
Oh, look, we're having the best summer ever, aren't we? How good's this weather?
It's been amazing.
No, guys, I've just been out riding bikes and stuff.
Oh, so good.
Down to the beach, sun. Surf, sand, all the above. It's just, this is the most decent, consistent summer I can remember in a long, long time.
You know what's crazy, you saying that? I was speaking to a fellow I used to work with, and I said to him a while ago now, I'm like, oh, because the last couple of summers have been non-existent in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like to him, when I was a kid, it was hot every day, and it was great. And he's like, yeah, because he grew up in a drought, like between 2002 and 2008 or whatever, we were in a drought. And then... Now it's kind of just normal where it rains and it's kind of a bit colder. But
yeah, I remember like water restrictions
and
stuff
water
like
restrictions.
That. Like that's not a thing
and
now.
Power restrictions for the air conditioning, all that stuff. Remember the air cons on?
Oh, maybe a bit before our time. But
okay, sorry. It was only a couple of years ago.
Well, you know what they're trying to do now in Queensland? They've all the new air cons they install, they can actually limit the power going to the air con now from a switch.
Surely the Queenslanders won't put up with that, but Victorians would, but not Queenslanders.
Yeah, that's true.
Surely not.
Now, guys, Motor Heaven, Jimmy boy.
Yeah, Motor Heaven back for 2025. Thank you again for all the guys down there sponsoring us. They're an awesome partner to have. Check out motorheaven.com.au.
Best in
the business. Got the amazing parts finder. The socials are great. And anything you want is basically on there, like all your big brands. And you don't have to pay full price. Everything's discounted, which is really cool. Better than everyone else.
Beautiful. Yes. And guys, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, subscribe, like, anything you can to support the channel. We really appreciate it. To our Patreon listeners, we may take Patreon into a new direction. But I want our Patreon listeners to message us on Patreon. If you are wanting a free air freshener of your choice, so message us on Patreon if you're a paid member and we'll send you out a free air freshener of your choice. Okay,
nice.
What about you?
Thank you for the support over the last few months, because we've only had the one video out and we appreciate the ongoing support. So
beautiful.
I
like it.
All right, MotoGP, talk to me, Jimmy. What's going on? This is not a review show. This is not
bike
a
launches?
Review show.
The bike launches, are we talking about that
yeah
or not?
Buddy, yes, talk about whatever you want. Jorge Martin, number one.
What do we
think? That's the biggest thing that's come out of all this so far.
Well, as you said, he was always going to. He's been fighting all his life to get it.
Yeah.
The no-brainer. Surely he was going to wear it. So
you can face and turn me a little bit if you want.
He's doing it me.
I know.
Giving you the cold shoulder, Tom. Giving you the cold shoulder, mate.
Beautiful.
Giving you the cold shoulder.
He still turns.
Giving you the cold shoulder.
That's better. Now I feel like I'm talking to you. That's better.
That's better. You look better.
A boss move. Love it. Yeah. I think it is great for the sport. Mm. And I think it's a big fuck you to Ducati as well. Sorry, Kieran.
Swearing.
A big stuff you to do Ducati. And I think he's doing it for himself as well. I mean, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
I love how he kept it under wraps.
Oh, I didn't like that. I want him to run it next day in the test because it always looks good. I remember when Nicky Hayden won 2006, and I remember going online to mcnews.com.au, and you'd see the preseason test photos, like, you know, a few days. No social media back then.
Yeah.
And then you saw him running the big number one. I was like, oh, how good's this? And then we all waited just for two measly stars, but I'm happy he's running it. And his helmet looks good.
Such a big thing in the sport, isn't it? I think F1, the numbers haven't been that important over the years like they have been in MotoGP.
Well, they only ran numbers because that's where they finished in the championship for a long time.
Yeah. And the constructors...
Bikes are the two. Bikes are the same back then.
Yeah.
But F1s were a lot after the bikes, obviously.
Yeah, it was like Schumacher era and Alonso era, all the way up to Vettel, wasn't it?
He never did the number one. He was always number five when he was champion.
Vettel?
I reckon.
Nah, he was number one.
Okay.
He was 100% number one.
I just got memories of him always being five.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
You got that one there? Yep.
Mm. Anyway, so it's good to see. And it's a big stuff for you, the Ducati, and it's going to be interesting to see how he rolls on with it.
But don't you think it was cool that we didn't know until he unveiled the bike?
It is cool. That is cool. I do like that.
Like, it's not a given. It's not a given.
It was the whole tease. I think it added to the build-up, the curiosity.
Yeah.
And especially the way they did it, too. He ran over and got the pit board with the floor numbers and grabbed the 89, then grabbed the one. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, the screen in the background was 89, and as he pulled the cloth off of the bike, it changed to one. Like, love that. So, it just adds another dynamic to this season. And we're in for a joyful season for both MotoGP and F1.
We're so excited. Now, the forgotten rider out of all that is Marco Bezzecchi. And he's obviously showed off the Aprilia.
Mm.
What do we kind of think? Like, Jorge Martin talked about how good the front end was. Loved the front end of the Aprilia. Said it was the best he's ever felt on any bike. I haven't heard much out of Bezzecchi, but how are we thinking he's going to go? Because he has to now... It's 2025. He's on a factory Aprilia. It's one of the best handling bikes on the grid. He seems to have the talent, but who knows what's going to happen. What do you guys think?
Well, it's interesting. Seeing him walking behind Martin to that season launch, I forgot all about him as well. No one talked about it. It was interesting seeing him. There was a few questions and goes his way, but I think in his right, he's probably going to be quiet in the media going forward because he had such a shocker last year. And I think that's probably the best thing for him to leave it to, you know, on track, I suppose.
Mm.
How he's going to go, it's a mystery because he was really peaked to go well last year and he absolutely flopped. So I really couldn't tell you. I do not know.
It's such a mystery. It's a mystery with Aprilia though, because I've said it so many times, but Aprilia has been the bike where it seems like they have so much promise and the bike's so good, but they've never really had the riders.
Yeah.
KTM's a little bit off that, but they've never had the riders.
Mm.
But Aprilia now has got a world champion, and Marco Bezzecchi is, you know, under the Rossi flag. He's supposed to be the man, supposed to be the next line coming through with like Marini and the Beast.
But I think we mentioned this last year, and I saw you guys talk about this a bit as well, that like, if you look at his career path, he won those, three or four races in 2023. And then he turned down the Pramac ride.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And we were scratching their heads and what's going on. And then last year, he just fell away. Digi was getting the better of him. Was that fair to say?
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
James?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay. And
he was injury plagued. Digi.
Yeah. So, and now you look at it, like, I'm calling it now already. He's going to be the first rider to regret moving. Like, if he had stayed... It's him on that factory Ducati, not Digi.
Yeah. True. I haven't 46. Thought about that.
So
yeah.
This is the thing with this guy. I'm not trying to bag this guy. I'm just calling it how
that's
I see
actually,
it.
So how did he stay?
So he's turned down two factory Ducati rides.
Yeah, but hang on. This is the whole reason was he turned down the Pramac right? Because he said, nah.
He regrets that.
He came out. Stupid decision. Too emotional because he wants to be part of the VR. He wants to win on the 46. He wanted to win on the with the VR 46. That was the whole thing, right?
It was never going to happen. Well, guess what? Never happens.
Right? He jumped ship and ended up scoring a factory bike.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder. We are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it.
For this year. So, look, he's not in the level of Martin, nowhere near. So the best thing he could do is just fall in line.
The only difference is he's in a factory-backed... He's in a factory team.
No, I get all of that.
But doesn't matter these days. My team won an independent.
True. Yeah, of course.
He needs to just put his head down, okay, and just get some decent results. Now, I can't see anywhere near... He's not going to get anywhere near Martin.
Early prediction for our preview show. is he top 6 in the championship? Is he top 10? Is he top 3?
Top 12 for me.
He's got to be top 12, man. What's a pass mark? All right, what's a pass mark for Marco Bezzecchi in 2025? Because mark's a top 5.
Well, a pass mark for me is if the bike is any good and Martin's winning on it, why can't Bezzi win on it?
Of course, 100%, I agree.
So a pass for me, if Martin's winning, say, 3 or 4 races per se, it means the bike's that good it can win more than once, not just by luck, well, then this guy needs to win a race too. That's a pass mark.
You got to remember the 6 Ducatis on the grid next year. It's 6 or 8.
But the quality of riders have left. This has been the big kerfuffle about the Marquez signing because they've lost quality riders to Aprilia and KTM. Yeah. Bastianini, quality rider. You know, Bezzecchi, supposed quality. They've left the Ducati camp. Yes, they've still got the 6 bikes. And, of course, the 24 is a lot closer to the 25 than what the 23 that the 24 was. But... You know, four KTMs, 4 Aprilias. Mm. So he has to be the second best Aprilia, clearly.
Mm. So you say a pass mark would be top 8 then, I would say.
I think if you're a factory Aprilia, a pass mark's a top 5, top 6.
And that involves some wins.
100%.
You can't be finishing 5th without a win this year.
This is Aprilia's year because they've built amazingly to this point. And then they've got a world champion, a number 1 on that bike. And they've got 2 quality riders. This is Aprilia's year.
I just don't see it going that well, to be honest.
Their next test, they're bringing like 12 different bikes into that test.
Mm.
12 different setups or variations, I guess you could say.
The thing about the launch that stumbled, raised my eyebrows was like, I counted, and I had to do a double take. I could be wrong, but there was 25 different sponsors on that bike. They have not got a major sponsor.
What is with that?
So that was just weird. You got the Aprilia on the thing. If you look closely from the bottom of the forks up to the front fender over the front wheel, down the side, the belly pan, even the pipes at the back, there was a minimum 23. Because some of them repeat after a while, like the same ones there. But... in all the years I've been watching motorsport, that's just a weird sort of dynamic. How can you have 25 small sponsors?
Mm.
Okay, they're getting the money, but they're the only team that hasn't got a major sponsor. KTM's track been backed by Red Bull. Well, Trackhouse are bankrolling, they're their own. You know?
Yeah, but like, in all seriousness, I think that's a good thing. They're promoting their own brand, aren't they?
Yeah, but
it's Aprilia.
I get that, Tom, but you think now with Martin on board, the number one plate, someone's going to put their hand up.
I thought
would go to Aprilia. That's what we had.
Anyone? Because you got
Repsol's Spanish owned. Yeah, guys, you know that. Spanish riders there.
They're Castrol.
Sorry, my bad.
They're Castrol.
You got to remember, Repsol sponsored a Japanese manufacturer for. How many years? I mean, I really saw that happening. It would be a partnership made in gold.
They're Castrol, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sponsored by them. I really thought it would have been a Sterile Garda or something.
That's what it is. I think that's there a couple of times on the bikes in 2 different areas.
Italian Milk.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I wonder what Max Biaggi, that was one of his main sponsors. Aprilia back. There must be them and Aprilia must have a thing.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Curdy, can you open your eyes for a second? And can you Google
what of burgers.
sterile Garda is? I'm pretty sure it's Italian milk.
If anyone would know, it would be you.
Yeah. Well, I always used to look it up. Like, San Carlo is chips.
The chips, that's right.
Yeah, Italian chips. Gone.
Stella Garda Alimenti is an Italian dairy produce.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hilarious.
Tom's a man.
Hilarious.
Tom's a man.
Thank you.
That's Tom's ridiculous.
Move on.
Damn, that was me. You should be thanking me. I was the one that called that. Yeah.
What, it was milk?
They got a few products.
I thought you said it was milk.
No, that was me.
You got milk, you got cheese, milk-baked desserts, tomato paste, and beverages.
There's a Euro Foods place actually across the road from my work. I might go in there and see if there's like sterile Garda cheese or something.
I've seen San Carlo chips before.
Yeah, I've seen them before.
Yeah, definitely. That was famously Simoncelli sponsor on that Honda. Yep.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
Danby, what's your favorite sponsor of all time, MotoGP? Do you have one stands out for you?
I'll say Marlboro.
Okay.
The Marlboro bikes back then. That's what I grew up with, I suppose, but I know the Repsol was pretty striking, always was all those years.
First year without Repsol.
That's going to be a bit strange, but I don't know. Marlboro for me, there's something about that fluoro. I ended up painting my 250 that colour when I first started riding. So, yeah, Marlboro. That's just always been synonymous with racing.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
You know?
What about yours?
Probably Repsol. Mm. Repsol and Marlboro. I grew up with Marlboro when I was really young. Well, Marlboro was still there up until like 2008.
Well, they could run in Qatar.
For one round. And the British rounds, they ran pretty late as well.
Yeah. Because then they had the barcode as same as F1.
Same thing.
Look like.
Yeah. But
there's still some sort of sponsorship from Marlboro on that Ferrari.
Is it?
I think in some ways. Mission Win Now was the Marlboro sponsorship.
What was that? Oh, Mission Win, I remember.
Mission Win Now looked like
Marlboro or something.
Yeah, and you Googled the website and it was just nothing.
That website doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. I Googled it like 3 days ago, funny enough.
It's crazy. But it's great marketing because no one knew what it was, but then when you found out it was cigarettes, then put it in front of your mind, didn't it? So
how, like, it just Marlboro and Ferrari, like Marlboro Ducati, it just worked hand in hand.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they? It just looks so good. But so did Repsol. But, you know, you talk about Aprilia, right?
Mm.
Maybe they don't want a major sponsor, which I don't really believe. And they just want to sell their own brand.
Yep.
I bet you it didn't stop Honda selling when Doohan was racing and Rossi was racing all that because they had Repsol.
Yeah, it's something from the board. Maybe they just wanted to
I just
to
don't think
the
they
team.
Can get the money.
No, it is. That's exactly what it is, James, because they're the least sponsored team on the grid. Of all the manufacturers, Aprilia's budget is nowhere near
what
the other three are, or four manufacturers are. Just because they can't get a big sponsor. And there's question marks been about this the last 2 or 3 years, you know.
Talking about sponsors, I want to ask you guys this. If KTM pulls out in 2026, whatever it is, there's a big hole with Red Bull sponsorship. Now, if KTM say they're going to pull out and they say we're not going to be back in for 10 years at least, so we've got to sort our own stuff out and we can go from there. Does Red Bull then invest heavily into another manufacturer? Because they've done Honda. They've had, you know, little bits on Honda for Marquez's bike, you know.
Mm.
So
what I think would happen in that scenario would be KTM would buy... out, sorry, Red Bull would buy out anything KTM. 2026, they'd still run KTM engines, rebranded as Red Bull engines, and start their own brand like they have with F1.
If I was Red Bull, I'd be looking to Aprilia if Jorge Martin's on that bike, which he is.
Yeah, they want to support Austrian. They won't go to another...
Well, the problem with KTM is they've already declared bankruptcy.
Mm.
I like what you're saying.
Yeah, I think they'll buy...
Red Bull's got the budget for it, surely.
Buy their R&D center, buy all the parts, buy everything. Just use KTM engines for 26, rebrand them as all Red Bull.
But does that mean Red Bull would have to develop their own chassis?
Yeah.
That's a big job.
But they'd already have that in motion.
So Pip Beyer says that they've got the budget for the next 2 years. And it's $70 million.
But it's 27's the issue because the new regs.
So
they're saying
they've already got the butt. Yeah. But then this is where there's a shareholder meeting on the 30th, 29th of this month.
Mm.
about what the decision, and most people in the paddock seem to think, no, they'll be on the grid, okay, at least for this year.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But, you know, do they then turn around and say, well, okay, halve that, there's your budget to run this year, but next year we're out.
But again, it goes down to, it's not the race team that's going broke, it's the company.
Yeah.
So the race team can still be...
Yeah, but Tom, the race team is part of the company.
Of course, I know that, but it's not the race team that's putting
it broke. Are you trying to say they will sell it to someone? Or the contender, they'll just close it down. Curtis, what do you think? He's all over this.
He is our finance man.
If I was the KDM team, I'd be looking towards CF Moto at that point.
Yeah. Well, this talking
there. Is that the China?
Yeah, you said China. This once before. They're
looking. It's China or it's another company that's an Indian-based one that are looking to buy out KDM.
Oh, okay. Aren't they own 20 KDM own 20% of CF Moto?
It's close.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing we're overlooking here, right? We're trying to. You're coming from the point of view, Tom, that we need these bikes on the grid, right? But if this does happen, if it does fall over, I don't think it will. But if it does fall over, Acosta's out.
Yeah.
There's no way Acosta is staying on, regardless of CFM, whoever buys it, and Red Bull.
Yeah.
He's not staying. Unstable. Period.
Yeah.
So this is the bigger picture here, right? We want the bikes on the grid, but we want them healthy, and because it's almost a travesty at the minute. It doesn't look like, but imagine this does happen where that falls over. I'm being a bit dramatic maybe about it, but this kid is about to take all before him. We all agree. He's on the cusp. He's on the cusp of nearly hitting the peak of that mountain where he's going to start wiping everybody if he can get a half decent bike and obviously just hone his skills that little bit more. Okay, but if all this doesn't happen, the thing people are missing out here is that you got to remember Ducati wanted to have the 8 bikes. It's not that they said we can't have 8 bikes. They wanted Pramac to still run their bikes. So guess what? They'll fill those spots next year with those 2 more Ducatis. And that's where they'll grab this kid straight away.
Mm.
You know, so he'll be on a 25 Ducati,
so
to speak. So I'm just making the point. Don't confuse Ducati only having 6 bikes because they said we have to cut our bikes. Now, they said we're cutting our factory bikes because it went from 4 to 3.
Mm.
But they still would have had 8 bikes on the grid this year if Pramac did not sign that Yamaha deal. Okay, that's things that people miss. So if KTM do fall over next year, Ducati is just going to walk straight back 100%. In and say, here, we've got the 2 bikes. Pedro, over here, mate. And then this marriage with Red Bull says, well, we're better off just sponsoring that bike.
Yeah.
He's on it. It'll start winning.
I think they'll be factory backed.
Yeah.
They'll go from three.
You're right. So they'll go from three this year back to 4, and he's getting the 4th one.
100%, because Dorna won't allow him to not be on a full factory bike. I already know that.
Well, that's not Dorna's decision.
Yeah, okay. But they got a hand in it.
Nah. If they had a hand in it, they would have forced their hand for Marquez to go to Pramac. So Martin goes to the factory and rah, 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 all that.
Yeah, but Marquez is a different beast.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dorna...
He's a marketing
Dorna's not... Dorna runs the sport. Don't think for a second Dorna has a headwig like Bernie Eccleston used to do back in the day in Formula 1. Like, it was Eccleston that brought Villeneuve to Formula 1 personally. He made that deal happen. He helped the Schumacher thing at Ferrari a little bit. But Dorna runs the sport, boys. It doesn't have a finger in the pie about what forcing teams, who they've got to choose as riders.
No, I reckon they just nudge people in the right direction.
They got bigger things to worry about, mate, like this Liberty deal going through and stuff.
Mm. You know? Just going back to your point with KDM, think of the young kids coming through the KDM program thinking, we've got to find a new seat next year. They don't want to get out of that whole program altogether. So we look at like Roulston coming through on the Moto 3, such a big, happy KDM, Gas, also Red Bull sponsored athlete, thinking, fuck, if KDM's out, I need to look for a new development path to MotoGP. There's also that's going to go down to the smaller categories. So
David Alonso,
yeah,
he's on a CF Moto, which is KDM.
Yeah, so yes,
so he's their next big star after Acosta. Is that where that pathway is for him?
That's the pathway,
100%.
Right? So what are you saying? Let's just say for the sake of exercise, KTM stays on the grid, starts winning races. Are you saying 2 years from now that Alonso will be in a KTM MotoGP team?
Yeah, if all goes well, yeah, for
I'm saying
yeah.
this.
In a perfect world.
In a perfect world, how's his path looking for him?
He would be a full factory Red Bull rider. It'd be Pedro Acosta and David Alonso on that motorcycle.
Again.
Which
that's mouthwatering. That's just mouthwatering.
So someone has this opportunity, a manufacturer out there has this opportunity to develop this for 2 years, 3 years.
But this
years
is
time.
What KTM's, like, they're at the verge right now. Where they've grown all this talent. They've honed them all in. They've brought them all the way through the ranks. And then now I've got
Red Bull
two,
Rookies Cup, yep, all that stuff.
Two absolute gems.
Yep.
Then they got experience with, at the moment, Binder and Bastianini on that bike. Like, they're right there. And then it just
gone
all,
broke.
It's, yeah, gone broke.
Yep.
I really like that idea of Red Bull just taking over, though.
Oh, but it's such, I mean, it's such a huge
company.
I
don't see it happening.
But I don't see Red Bull leaving the sport. And I don't see
them, no. I definitely
They've got too
don't.
Much invested now. And I don't see them going to sponsoring a Ducati. I just couldn't imagine.
If they were going to sponsor any other manufacturer, it's Honda.
Yeah.
And I'll bet
there's
that
also
all
big
day.
Affiliations, Red Bull in Thailand as well. There's also that aspect. Red Bull's actually, I think it's half owned by the Thai family, half owned by
Honda is huge in Thailand as well.
And half owned by the, obviously, the Austrian family.
I didn't know that.
Red Bull started in Thailand.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. 51% is still the Thai family.
So, really? Yeah. So, that's a big thing now. And, I see how that coming into it as well. I don't know. We'll see. That's why I asked you this. Is there a manufacturer in Thailand that build bikes? You're like, nah. Yeah, they're all built in Thailand, but there's no actual Thai-owned brand. So that's the other thing I was thinking of that angle. But who knows? Well, time will tell.
It's interesting, though, because you talk about Moto3. So one of my other notes I wrote down is 2027, I think I wrote down.
Yep.
Possibly that there's talks of Moto3 going to one manufacturer. Similar to obviously what Moto2 is like.
Perfect. Happy with that. Definitely.
It's a given that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
It makes sense.
What concerns me is that these are the feeder categories. And we've got the hard-nosed fans like ourselves that watch those categories religiously. Like a lot of other people, most of the people watch this pod watch those categories as well. But this is, if Liberty's coming in, this is what they've got to focus on. Don't make MotoGP big or make it a big show. Get the ground up for these other two categories to make sure they're stable and they're sustainable.
Moto2 is perfect.
Yeah, well, that's because it's one bike. Is that right?
They're in a great position.
Well, it's one engine.
One engine, sorry.
It's all different chassis. And that's the interesting part of what Moto3 is going to be. Is it going to be the one, like, just say Honda engine and different chassis? Because normally in Moto2, it's always dominated by one chassis.
That's right.
Whether it be a Moriaki or a Suta or Kalex. Or now a Boscoscuro. So that's probably what's going to happen with Moto3. Moto3 is a little bit similar though, because, you know, at the moment it's dominated by KTMs, and it used to be Honda for a little bit. Like, the Leopard Honda famously has always been super strong
down the straight. Yeah.
But at the moment, like, everyone's jumping ship to KTM when they can. So,
but I think will it
ruin Moto3's racing spectacle, even if it was one manufacturer? I still don't think so.
No way. I think it's a fair playing field. When these young kids come in, they're all on the same bikes, so you can see where the real talent is.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I think that's how it should be.
So when was it? When did it change? Mine was probably 6 or 7 years ago, maybe more. So when it was 125s, 250s, and now isn't the Moto2 is 600s now? Am I right?
Yeah, 765s.
Okay. Yeah. And the Moto3s are
254 strokes.
There you go. So see how it's. What was Moto2 is now Moto3. This would be the cost thing, is what I'm trying to say.
But they say there's a big jump between Moto3 and Moto2. And there's a massive jump to MotoGP.
What it should be?
Well, as in, like, from 125s to 250s back in the day, there wasn't as big of a jump. Now there's a big jump, and that's why they struggle so much going to Moto2.
It is a big jump.
But it should be.
Well, yeah, it separates the boys from the men.
You've
got to
learn another level of skill. Well, I remember when Jack Miller did that first test, because he went straight from Moto3 to MotoGP, and it was at Valencia, the go-kart track, and his eyes nearly jumped out of his skull when he was going down the straight at how quickly he got to 300 and then slammed those brakes on. Like, he was like, whoa.
How did that even happen for him going straight to MotoGP? Like,
he had a HRC contract.
That's right.
So he was contracted to Honda.
Yes.
Because he rode for, funny enough, KTM in the lower ranks, but they obviously saw talent in him. And it was a Stray Galicia for a year or two, and then jumped ship to.
Cool, that was good. Good
but he did well. He did well in Moto3. Won a race at Phillip Island, or maybe
he won. He almost won the title from Alex Marquez.
Was that him and Alex Marquez for the championship in that last race?
Yep.
And I believe that was 2014.
14 or 15.
Yeah.
14.
Roughly. I think it was 14 because Marquez won the title that year. And he won it with his brother. And 15,
that's right.
Marquez,
that's
obviously.
Right. We saw him. And Miller won for Le Bon that year, from memory. Yep.
Yeah.
Because I, personally, I don't remember him going amazingly well, like once in a generation talent sort of thing, and then going straight to run a GP.
It was,
you wouldn't see it happening now.
Oh, like, who knows? But
David Alonso, if he didn't get that opportunity, going to. He won, what, 14 races in
the
a year?
The thing, the difference is I think the Aussies and the Americans are always just bigger.
Yeah.
They're always a bigger breed, so they can maybe they can jump onto a bigger bike a lot easier.
It's a great point.
Where the Europeans and like the Japanese. Well,
they're more like jockeys, aren't they? That's the best comparison.
Like Danny Pedrosa.
But all of them generally, you know, Lorenzo, you go from, obviously Italians are different.
Yeah.
You know, Bezzecchi, Simoncelli.
Marini.
Marini.
Rossi's taller.
Rossi. Yeah. But it just seems those other Europeans are tiny, you know. And that's why the Aussies, like you said, are more robust, if that's the word, you know.
Same with the Americans, just a bit more Westerners. But you look at Danny Pedrosa, worked against him. He was amazing in 125s and 250s. And they would say it was almost cheating. He was too light.
But then he
got to the four strokes and then trying to wrestle those bikes around. It almost worked against him.
Well, David Alonso's going to have that same problem. He's tiny.
Yeah, but he's still got room to grow. The kid's only like 16.
True. It is a growth spurt.
But you can still be small and be a ball of muscle. Like Marquez ain't huge.
No, he's not at all.
Mm.
You know? It's all technique as well, isn't it? Like, just amazing how much they move on those bikes.
Yeah, core strength.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You can see it with Quartararo because he's always posting shirtless pics.
And they're the fastest they've ever been.
Yeah.
And they'll get even faster this year. And then it looks like in 27 they're going to try to slow them down.
They'll have to. They have to slow them down. Because otherwise we'll lose the fast tracks.
They might go to, like, groove tyres. Like they did in F1.
How long did that last, groove tyres in F1?
It was the 90s to...
Good 7-8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like 96 to 2004,
that's,
maybe.
My earliest memories of F1 was...
My only memories from like a lot of growing up, because I started watching it in 2000 from memory. And then, it was always groove tyres. You know, you never really saw slicks. You only saw slicks on the old cars like Senna and Mansell used to drive.
Slicks are so much cooler.
Way cooler. But you can understand why they did it. They were just getting ridiculous. 2004, those Ferraris...
Crazy. Crazy.
They still have some of the lap records around some of the tracks. I mean, it's unbelievable. On groove tyres as well.
Mm.
I mean,
look at the crash at the island with Bezzecchi and Vinales. Like, at turn one. It's only when they come off, you go, fuck, look how fast they're going.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary, isn't it?
That's only until those moments happen do you go, oh, hang on.
Biggest crash of the year, that one.
That was huge.
Mm.
It was.
That was huge. Massive.
Both to walk away from it. I know Bezzecchi was a bit bruised, went to hospital overnight, but...
Mm.
Flat stick into turn one at 300 and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was similar to Zarco and Marquez then that race a few years ago.
Yeah, that was right in front of us.
We saw that happen. That was incredible. Like, you thought he caught it. It looked like he's dead going through the gravel, you know? It's crazy.
What do you think of Yamaha this year? Do you think
it's all about the V4, surely. They're going to turn up to Sepang for the preseason test.
Yeah.
They're bringing it for there. The talk is that's a big talk. They're definitely bringing it. They have to. If they're serious, they've got to do this.
I think they are. I think everything I've seen from Yamaha, I think they're serious. I think they're doing a lot better than what Honda are. And they seem to be. Honda seems serious but going nowhere, where Yamaha kind of have like, they know what they're doing.
I saw an interview with Nakagami. We call him Crashagami, the LCR rider.
Yeah, Taka Nakagami.
Go on.
They asked him, what's your role next year for this year? He goes, my role is going to be to communicate from Japan what they're saying there to the people in Europe and the factories over in Europe.
Mm, that's good.
No, it's not.
That's terrible.
Why?
Because they should have been communicating. This is why they're so lost. This is why you're trying to make Honda great again.
Damn you, right in the middle.
This is why... You turn my mic over. This is why Honda. You're trying to make Honda great again.
Yeah. Like, well, we kind of don't want them to be good because we keep selling hats out of it.
There you go.
We do.
Like an ex-rider is going to be communications manager for the two.
Between for Aleix Espargaró and the factory.
But just, it's... Yeah, and this is why Yamaha are learning from Aprilia. Aprilia just did it in public. Blow every engine. Who cares? This is the steep curve we're climbing to get there as quick as we can to make a fast bike reliable. Mm.
Honda definitely gone the wrong way about it for a long time. They openly admitted when Marquez got injured that they just stopped developing the bike.
Yeah.
That's just the arrogance. That's T-Shav Saturday night Phillip Island, 15 beers deep arrogance.
Yeah, he shouldn't have ordered the 3 bottles of wine. That's Dave's fault.
What about old mate? His couple of dinners.
Yeah, oh yeah, two mains. You don't order two mains. That's just rude.
You would.
Yeah, going back to that Honda.
So the Yamaha. So the V4 is the key.
Yeah,
it's, of course.
This V4 turn up with it in testing.
But how can they quickly develop it that quickly and go well? Like that's going to be a hard slog.
That's the whole thing, Tom. They have to develop it during the year. But you want to see some scope of improvement, like in these first couple of races, they can see.
Yeah.
Well, from the data, you know what? We just got to get this right. We can see the figures, what they'll produce when we get it right.
Well, they've got Primac now to help, and I think that's going to be a massive help.
Of course.
Having a satellite test.
And then, four bikes.
And, like, I've still never seen anything like it, but I firmly believe Quartararo last year couldn't get a millisecond quicker out of that Yamaha.
No, of course not.
No, he had a great...
He had that...
It was crazy, some of the races he was doing. He was running fifth and sixth in some of those races behind those Ducatis.
Yeah, he nearly podiumed, I think, in Indonesia, nearly podium. So,
and you could see he was wringing the neck out of that thing. It was amazing. Yeah, he actually deserves more credit than what he's getting at the moment.
Well, he's getting Motorsport Republic credit. We've got on his back the last couple of pods, so you'll be listening.
Yeah, because this time last year, everyone had written him off. He was a forgotten man.
That's crazy.
You know, we'll never see him at the front again. But then we understand what was really going on there, and we saw how he was carrying that bike, and he's brought it up the field to the top 10 more regularly than not. That's why everyone's getting back on now. Like, you guys are giving the paying dues there to give him the credit. Like, and back to the V4, like... Bring it to the test. Who cares if it blows up? But just what we want to hear after these two first couple of tests is the riders say, all four of them, yeah, wow, this engine's got potential. Like, we can see. That's what you want to hear. Whereas all we're hearing out of the Honda thing is, we still don't know what's going on. And if you remember 2 years ago when Fabio lost the title, we said, we need more horsepower. And then they brought the engine the following year and it was the same. But exactly. They promised him and that's when he started cracking it, you know. It was the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good thing for them as well as a manufacturer and a brand is they can develop this V4 and then put it in their road bike. So that's going to be
something.
That's going to be the other thing.
R1, what do you think, James?
Well, that's what motor racing was all about back in the day, wasn't it? Yeah. It was to develop your brand. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting for going into the future for them.
Honda don't do that. They run a V4.
And so with the Yamaha, obviously the other three riders, rims, look... A lot of injuries. People say that's why he never got back on form last year. You bought into that,
James?
We saw
him at Phillip Island, though. He couldn't walk.
He can't walk.
Okay.
He
can't walk. That's why I'm bringing him up.
He's a Johnny Hopkins spec at the moment. Oh, he's...
You know when there's always...
That's saying something.
You know when there's always a rider, probably every 10 years or something, where they're just plagued with injuries, and it just seems like it's going to control the rest of their life? That's Alex Rins.
Oh, wow. That's
you know, he can't do a track walk. That's why you see photos of him cycling everywhere. His legs are cooked.
He's cooked, yeah.
That's sad to see, man.
Wow. So he's not going to come any good this year.
I think he's just... No. I would love to see it. I think everyone would.
You're talking what you've seen firsthand.
Yeah, but it's rough, man. It was a rough sight to watch. Even through the pits. I actually never really saw him walk at all, actually.
No, he was riding his bike the whole time.
Yeah.
But I remember him crashing and then him walking off and he couldn't... He looked like he had a broken leg. And the commentator was like, oh, no, he's fine. He's fine. This is how we do. He walks, he's fine. Oh, he's walking away. I'm like, he's walking away. Yeah. He's walking away with two limps.
It's a John Hopkins spec.
That's quite the reference.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Well, look at Doohan. It ended in Doohan's career. It's just he had won 5 world titles before that.
True.
You know, and he almost never won them all when he had to fuse his legs together.
Yeah.
That's famous story.
The Dutch one to chop it off. That was to chop his leg off.
Yeah, they sewed him together, didn't they? Two legs.
Yeah.
He was in the hospital in Holland and... That the prognosis, they said, no, we have to amputate. And he got on the phone, and Acosta went there. They smuggled him out the hospital.
No way.
Right? Because their prognosis is...
I didn't know that.
Yes. Their prognosis was, no, mate, sorry, can't help. We're going to have to chop it. The left bottom of the left...
Yeah.
God, it must be
so he rang on the phone. So Dr. Acosta, they went down there at night, basically smuggled him out of the hospital, took him to another country, and that's when they fused the legs together so the blood could feed through.
He got taken back to Spain or something like that.
Yeah.
He said,
if it wasn't for that, he goes, that would have chopped my leg off.
And how different your life would have been.
Well, he was back on a bike not a ridiculous amount of time later.
6 weeks or something?
Something
it was
like
pretty
that.
Crazy. It was. I remember at the time.
On crutches, onto the bike to save the title. Because he was a good shot to win that year as well.
Yeah. He was coming into his own then, even that year there, you know, with Rainey and Swanson. I remember watching it. And then that crash just... Yeah, it was sad because, like, everyone thought, oh, he would have won it. But then, obviously, then he went on to have a dominant period for five straight years. Like, yeah. And that, for me, watching it back then, this is 20 years ago, 94. It was the first time you'd watch motorsport and this guy was winning. You just knew he was going to win before the race even started.
Yeah, some
it?
Of his results.
It was one, he won like 12 one yeah. year. So we take all this for granted now with the Vettels and the Maxes and the Marquezes and the Rossies, what they've done the last 10 or odd years. But way back then, that was just unheard of for one guy.
And an Aussie as well. And like, we probably don't celebrate him enough in this country either.
One manufacturer. Yeah. It was all Honda though. Like that, those years was just all Honda.
You always got to be on the right. You got to be on the right bike at the right time, right car at the right time. But then you got to still beat your teammate and win. Yeah. He did that 5 years in a row, which is incredible. And not to have another major injury. I mean, he had injuries, but not a one that put him out of the season.
Well, injuries were just so common.
Then he had the one
then.
That ended his career.
Yeah. After his five. Yeah.
They were so common back then on those two strokes. Yeah, because they would just spit you off.
Wild bikes. Just wild.
You got some questions for us, Danby? What's going on?
Have you ever ridden a 500 two-stroke?
No, I've ridden a... No, not a 500. Oh, hang on, an RG. Bike? An RG. I did.
Crazy.
It was an RG 500. Suzuki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't ride very far, but...
Yeah,
I think I got the second gear, and I was only young. Like, oh.
Yeah.
It was just that'd be too a bike wild. To have it in your collection. It was just too whip. It was just like...
You still see some of those Honda and... What are they? The 500 two-strokes?
What are you talking
road
about?
Road bikes. You still see some of them around in collections in a...
500 two-strokes. Honda. Road bikes.
No, sorry. I don't know what I'm saying. Suzuki. What was the two-stroke you rode?
RGV.
No, it was an RG. RG 500.
And there's a Yamaha as well, 500 two-stroke.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's called.
No, I just remember this mate of mine had one. I'm like, because I had the 250 two-stroke. I'm like, well, how much more? Yeah, it'd be double. It was just something else.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
All right.
I'll throw these at you. So I've already said who I reckon. Who's going to be the first world to regret moving teams? I've said Bezzecchi for the reasons I've just mentioned.
I'm going to say Maverick Vinales. I'm sorry, okay, Maverick. No. I'm going to say Maverick Vinales just because, and I'll lump Bastianini in this as well. Probably more Bastianini, if anything. Both because they were either could have gone to Aprilia, could have stayed at Aprilia, and then they've gone to KTM, and we don't know what's going on.
You guys were big on this last year a lot of your pods, talking about Bastianini jumping ship too soon.
Yeah.
Had he waited, that could have been him on that Aprilia.
And
I'm about Bastianini, 100%.
Yeah. You were saying it
he's
a lot.
Better fit than Bezzecchi.
Yeah.
Because he had other opportunities, and then he's gone to a manufacturer that's going broke.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't get any worse than that.
100%.
Yeah, but just one little thing on KTM. That's why Acosta's manager, he's lost his shit because he's been behind the scenes saying, well, hang on, why have you kept this in the dark about this financial issue? This is not the deal you sold us when we signed this two-year deal.
Yeah, it's
so good. He's the one, he's stirring the pot in the behind the scenes wanting to get him out of that contract. Should it get even close to getting out? Are they falling over?
I heard rumours Rossi was talking to him.
Yeah, well, he wants, yeah. Well, especially after at the ranch, they apparently had a bit of chat at the ranch for the...
They did.
Which teammate battle will self-destruct first? Well, that has to be Vinales and Bastianini, surely, no?
Nah, I think...
I think it's Bagnaia and Marquez.
Bagnaia and Marquez, yeah.
I think that's going to be gone first five
rounds.
I even
think... Yeah, but see, I don't... Go on.
I think...
go on.
I think even a Martin and Bezzecchi. I mean, I just don't think...
Nah, too much of a family atmosphere, yeah, but see, that
to
me, joint.
Bezzecchi's got to know his place or he doesn't, right?
But I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
And that's why he won't... You can't be throwing stones from glass houses if you're not getting results.
Mm.
Okay?
Can't be throwing stones at glass houses if you're not getting results. Put that on a T-shirt, Jim.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all good making a big noise, but if you're getting your ass handed to you, you look like an idiot. You've got to be beating that
guy. Has he got a two-year deal, Bezzecchi?
Yeah.
No idea.
Has to, hasn't he? Yeah. Wouldn't go for 1 year.
Yeah, it's 2 years.
Now, the reason I don't think the Marquez one, Bezzecchi one, Bagnaia one because they're on the best bike, so they'll win the following week. They know they're on the best bike.
Yeah, but their egos are going to take over.
Yeah,
no,
but
they don't
the
care
goal
about
the
that.
Goal is to win, and they realise that if they let something carry on over to the next race, it's going to affect them having the chance to win in that race.
I know, but like these,
you know,
these people,
Spanish,
yeah,
right?
These okay. people aren't sane. They're right. a different breed. They just want to win. They don't care about anything, especially Marquez. Yeah, he's so ruthless. Now,
you're 100% right. I'm not disagreeing with that element, but the reason I'm saying they won't fall out is because they back of theirs, we know what, he's beat me today I can beat him. It's a chance of beating him again the following week because it is the best bike. It's the bike you're winning on.
Yeah. Mm.
It's these teammate fallouts. They'll fall out more when they're not, when one guy's getting the results and one's not.
Yeah, I get that.
That's my point there. Like if Martin's getting all the podiums and Bezecchi's nowhere, well, there's more chance of them two having a falling out.
I can see Marquez just trying to throw it up on the inside on a 90-degree turn, backing it in, just knowing he's running wide and just collecting Bagnaia. I can see
it. Not disputing any of that, but we're expecting that to happen. Is it probably going to happen? It's up to Ducati to manage it. But is that going to affect them falling out when they talk to each other? That's what we're talking about here. Teammates falling out.
So we're talking about Rossi, Lorenzo, Speck.
Yeah,
sort of
where
thing.
The wall goes up and all that shit, you know?
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's...
I don't see that happening in this day and age at all.
Yeah, I don't see it as being as bad as that.
Because it's not like as ruthless as it used to be.
Agreed.
I just think there's going to be some serious
too much
tension.
Too many sponsors and
war of words in the media.
Yeah, that's it.
Who will be the top non-Ducati rider in the championship?
Martin
or Acosta?
Well, who knows what bike the fucking KTM's going to be?
Yeah.
You just don't know what it's to
I'll go Martin. Okay. Early prediction, I'll go Martin.
Yeah, early prediction.
Top of the range.
We're not doing our prediction show just yet.
This is a good one. Which rider who finished in the top 10 last year won't finish in the top 10 this year? So I'll throw up names like Bastianini, Vinales.
Jack Miller.
Did he get top 10?
I think in the championship. Finished
10th. Did he?
Oh, Brad Binder.
Binder?
Yeah, thanks, Katie. Yeah, Binder.
Tom, what did you say? Miller?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember who finished in the top. Like, whoever was... Go on, Curtis. Actually, before you finish that, Danby, just let Curtis name the top 10. 2023.
24. You doomed him from the start.
His head's just exploded into smithereens.
I think it's going to be Binder. I think just of all the disruptions that's already been happening.
So Fabio comes into that top 10, surely, because he didn't finish in the top 10 Quartararo.
So he comes in,
which is who?
So Jorge Martin first, Bagnaia second, Marquez third, Bastianini fourth, Binder fifth, Acosta sixth, Vinales seven, Alex Marquez eighth, Morbidelli ninth, Fabio Di Giantonio is 10th.
Mm.
Miller was behind Quartararo.
Who was?
Miller. Jack Miller was behind Quartararo at 14th.
Oh, okay. I was wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll stick with Binder.
Yeah. Well,
having heard that, I'll say Morbidelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morbidella.
It's either Binder or Vinales for me.
Okay, now who's...
To KTM.
Who'll be the rookie of the year? And I don't mean... It's all points to Aldegar, clearly, because he's got the best bike. But who's going to make the biggest impression?
I'm gonna go Aigura. Aigura. I'm gonna go
Aigura. Yeah, I think Aigura as well.
I'm not sold on Fermín Aldeguer or whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, no one is at the minute.
And Chandra's not gonna do much.
Chandra is good for 17th place. Yeah. We all know
he's
that.
He's been sold a dud, that fella.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got. I think. I reckon the Aprilia is gonna suit his style.
Mm.
Smooth rider, smooth bike. It's a 2025 spec Aprilia as it is anyway. Aldeguer. Look, I think he's still got the talent, but. He didn't show us last year. He showed us for like three races.
Right.
Pressure.
I think he was faster than all the other boys in that first preseason test.
It's all about pressure for both categories this year. F1, MotoGP, there's a lot of pressure. Pressure from KTM, pressure from all the rookies coming in, pressure with Martin and a new team. It's all about pressure. That's the number one word for 2025.
It's not the strongest class coming up, though, into MotoGP.
Mm.
Yeah, Moto2.
I think Aigura, for me, is probably the one. Like, Aldeguer is amazing on his day, but, you know, he's not be-all, end-all at the moment. He's no Alonso, he's no Acosta, no Marquez coming through.
Yeah.
And then you've got Chancho, who's, we all know, we don't have to say it, but he's just all there because of the sponsorship.
So, including sprints, how many winners will we get this year, do you think? I'll say the two Ducatis, Acosta, Martin,
You still think Acosta is going to win a race this
year?
Yeah, I think so. I said including sprints.
Including sprints,
how many race winners do you think we're going to? I reckon about five or six. I think the other two will be like maybe a Digi, maybe even an Alex.
Yeah,
I'll say a Bezecchi. I'll put a Bez in there.
On top of those other four. So your four are Mark, Bagnaia, Acosta, Martin, and Bezzi.
Yeah.
And anyone else?
Didge, yeah.
That's six?
Yeah.
That's it, you reckon?
You know, if Yamaha has a V4.
Yeah, I think Fabio.
I'll put Quartararo.
Okay.
I'll put him in for a sprint win. I think that's a good shout,
I reckon too. Yeah. Tom, any others?
No, I don't think so.
Miguel Oliveira?
Yeah, sure.
On a Yamaha V4. That could be a go, actually. James was dead right on that one last year. He was a dud. God, I couldn't believe it. And he had all the tools. He had all the tools.
He was injured.
Yeah, but not that bad, though. He wasn't that badly injured. He was injured the worst of
you
before.
You know what's crazy? So we put up, Danby, our predictions from the start of the year.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
The end results.
At Tom's house, yeah.
And we did the end results. And then Tom was getting so much shit for Oliveira. But the funny thing in all that is I said Oliveira was going to do nothing. And I copped shit at the start. And then at the end, you still copped shit. So it's someone saw it anyway.
What I say to you on the phone, what's the worst thing being talked about? Not being talked about.
Yeah. Okay, and the last one's pretty obvious. Who still comes going second to Quartararo in the Japan Cup? Has to be.
I like that, Japanese Cup.
It has to be Zarco.
Yeah, Zarco. But then you think, I mean, you could say a Jack Miller
Zarco.
Or Oliveira
Rims,
would do.
Rims,
do
well, obviously not Rims, given what you've just told me.
No, I'm going to go Jack Miller. I reckon he'll finish second.
I'm going to go Oliveira.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Turn around?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Write that down, Curtis.
Can you write that down? Because when we do our prediction on the prediction show, you won't put him in the top five. Or bottom five.
My dream would be like Jack getting on that KTM first time run, and that first year was him on the KTM was him having fun and like getting top 10s, top 5s. I don't know if that's going to happen. I want that to happen. But honestly, I'm probably going to go with Danby on that one.
Yeah, I have a sneaky suspicion that they're going to use Jack as a developmental role.
Well, it has to be.
Like a Zarco.
But yeah, how can a team go from winning the driver's riders' championship to then being a development team?
Well, it's a bike.
Yeah, I know. It's but far out, it's a big change, isn't it? For their
it's all about the money.
Whole team,
money too,
and
yeah.
It's money, man.
Mm.
That's what it is.
So is okay. Going back to Pramac, are they paying Yamaha to use their bikes, or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Yeah. Yamaha came with a big fat check.
Yeah.
Big
so they would pay Katie, they would have paid Ducati for their bikes, and they've probably switched that to the other way around this going through this year. And that's why they've done the deal.
Well, Paolo, big dog Paolo Campagnoni's going to eat.
He's going to eat. Well, he deserves it. Fuck, he's coming and won a championship. Yeah. Do what you want. Seriously. And they've had some hard years over the years prior.
And they started on a Honda NSR 500.
Yeah.
Good on him. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
Any other MotoGP stuff? What have we got tonight? The Ducati launch. Any?
Oh, I think we know what that's going to
be. Yeah, well, by the time this is out, that's going to be out.
Yeah.
So we talked about pressure before, boys. Yep. Pressure for Formula One this year. We've got six rookies coming in, which is...
We'll call it five and a half.
Well, five and a half, Lawson.
No, I was going to say, because I feel sorry for Jack Doohan. He's not going to last
four races. I see what you're saying. Yeah, sorry. It's seven drivers on the grid next year are born after Alonso's debut.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the guy's 44 now, isn't he?
No, he's not that old.
I think he is.
Oh, maybe. I'll hold 34, you to that.
43 or something.
But there's a lot of pressure. Lawson's got a lot of pressure. You've got Antonelli 43. Coming into a factory team. Probably not as pressured, but Lawson and Doohan, those two coming in, they've got just drivers behind them hunting for those seats.
Lawson's been given a free rein. Marco has said, mate, we only want you to get within a half a second of Max. They've told him straight up what they don't expect of him.
That's crazy, though. Half a second in Formula 1
is an eternity.
They've
just said to him, mate, we don't want you like having sleepless nights trying to beat this guy. No one's beaten this guy.
No one will beat him.
So we're more than happy. If you can get within this margin, they've already laid this out to him.
Mm.
They just want him to bring the car home and try and get in the points if the car's good enough, which comes back to the car. So, because they've seen all these other drivers gone through the mill of trying their hardest to beat Max and end up self-destructing, and you know, Gasly, Albon, and the list goes on.
Well, Albon, talk about pressure. Albon, if he doesn't perform against Sainz this year, we know that he's not the real deal, because he's had Sargent,
The interesting thing there was when Colapinto came in and started sticking it to him.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's why Colapinto was raved about. It wasn't just his own performances. It was beating Albon, who everyone thought was pretty good at the time, in the Williams.
And you've got to beat your teammate. It's the first thing. That's what they always say.
Yeah.
When you got run-of-the-mill like Sargent and you know, Mazepin. They were making the others look better than what they were. Yeah. See, that's what...
What is interesting about this year, and this probably goes back to Hamilton, I would say, you haven't had rookies come into top teams before. This is the first time in a long time that we had rookies in the top teams, the top four
since
teams.
Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton in 2007. Verstappen even came through the Toro Rosso. Mm. Obviously, halfway through the season, got promoted and then won the race in Spain. Yeah. But that's the big thing this year. That's the different thing. When you've got six rookies coming in and three of them are in winnable teams. I mean, that's the big interesting thing for me. And then you've got, you know, Lawson in a Red Bull. You're going to have Antonelli, which I'm really excited about. A lot of negativity about Antonelli in the media at the moment. Saying it's been rushed in. But, you know, what else? What other choices did I have? I think it's a great thing. And obviously, Dammy called by me in that pod we had together.
Say, look in the barrel, Tom. Tell everybody.
Well, I can't look at you because you're looking over there.
So I'm waiting for you to look
if
down
if we did
the
a
camera.
Podcast and I'm like, yeah, damn you, have a look at it. Like, how ridiculous that would be. There we go.
I've been watching his mic just slowly turn like six, seven times.
I'm dictated by this mic.
There you go, Tom. You look down the barrel, mate.
Watch this. You watching?
Yeah. Well, it's for some reason that hasn't been installed properly, but that's all right.
Just for a clarification.
Yes.
Alonso is 43 years old.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Turns 44 this year.
Yeah, true. Go on.
Have we had a pod since the news has come out with Yuki Tsunoda, not obviously, and Lawson?
No, nothing.
How'd you feel being Yuki in that situation?
Well, what did he do?
Did he deserve it, Debbie?
I thought he did.
No, not at all.
Your auntie's Yuki, I get it, but the guy is fast.
The guy's had so much opportunity, though. He's never done it.
How many years in F1?
4 years he's had in Formula One in that team.
You reckon that's enough time to prove
it's
yourself?
Enough time. He hasn't even had a one-fourth place. I mean, come on. He's raced 80.
What do you think, Danby? Seriously.
He's had 80 Grand Prix and 10 sprint races, and he's had 1 fourth place. I mean, come on, seriously.
He saw
Hülkenberg, Hülkenberg in that Haas has had, 15 fourth places in that same amount of time.
He saw off De Vries.
Go on.
Who everyone rated when he came back. He ended Danny Ric's career.
Yeah, barely though.
It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what this guy's done.
Yeah.
Right? These are the facts.
Do you rate Danny Ric though?
Let him talk. Let him finish. I'm interested.
You know, for all the shit this kid's copping, or not kid, this Japanese guy's copping, I've been saying all along, he's fucking fast. Okay? And yeah, he's had a temperament and we've heard all the dummy spits on the radio. But yeah, he did okay against Gasly. They were pretty equal 1 year there. They only drove 2 years together. And Gasly's very fast. So I just think he should have got the nod. But again, they're all about temperament. They probably want to take the chance of knowing that he's still that bit of the loose cannon the way he carries on in the car.
Someone Japanese like as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's to his advantage, James, because he's got a bit of gusto. Because you're right, the Japanese are so pretty much bowed down.
Yeah.
That's generally what we've seen from all of them in all the racing, haven't we? So that's what makes him a bit left of centre. Why he's pretty decent, I think. But he's better than Lawson. You know, it was faster than Lawson in the shootout, but they wanted to go for someone more solid, who they think Lawson is. You know, Lawson was fourth in line in the Red Bull stable. There's a guy named Yuki Vips. He was the one that was coming through. And he was dominating F2. And then...
Surely his name's not Yuki as well.
No, Yuri Vips is his name.
Two Yukis, that's incredible.
Yuri Vips was his name.
Yeah.
And then he, I don't know, was playing some... what do they call him? Simulator thing online with his mates and made this
racial slur.
And it went viral and he got the ass.
Jesus.
Okay.
Just because of that. They'll hate to see our group chat.
He got the ass, right? And this is how. And trust me, he was wiping Lawson at the time. Okay? Mm. So this is... I'm just talking about where... These guys that are coming through this so-called Red Bull program, they're not top... You know, Lawson's... It makes me laugh. The amount of recycling that's gone on in Formula One these last 4 years, these mini comebacks and comebacks, like, you know, Danny Ric getting another go, De Vries, he got spat out very early on, never really made it. He got another go. You know, now Lawson's getting a go. Like, they weren't right. They never got the right to get there in the first place. But because of this shortage of talent, because these junior categories, it's too even. It's too... you know, with these reverse grid races in F3 and F2, as you see, like it's so hard to get a consistent. Yeah, you know, there are some decent guys. Who's the one? Who's the Brazilian guy? Not Beerman. He's taking. He's in the.
Bortoleto.
So he was F3 champion, and did really well in F2. I think he
won the championship.
He did win it, but he came straight out of F3 as well. He's like another Piastri in a sense. He managed to do the back-to-back title.
But Hadjar going into that Toro Rosso, Racing Point, whatever you call him now, that's going to be a big test, and I think he will outperform Yuki. And
well, he has to. I don't think he will, but I'm back to Yuki.
But Hadjar is the talent. Hadjar is a talent, and I'm really excited for him as well. And no one's talking about him going into this year because we've got so many other things to talk about. We've got Hamilton and a Ferrari. We've got, as we keep saying, we've got two multiple championships, both going to the red manufacturer with Marquez going to Ducati.
It's a crazy time
to be alive and us doing a motorsport podcast.
It's crazy.
Liberty Media buying MotoGP. I mean, how many home runs do you want? Seriously.
Going back to F3 and F2, I've never kept up with it and I've never watched it.
That's not
everyone. Have you always watched it?
Yeah, bloody oath. Yeah, it's... And that's why you saw Piastri coming through in F3.
Is it exciting racing?
Great racing.
The F3 is like Moto 3.
Yeah.
Okay. You have these, they slipstream, re-slipstream because of the DRSs.
What they do
in those two series, right, because they have a sprint race on a Saturday, so they've always had a sprint race.
And it's every weekend?
Yeah. Every weekend they have a sprint race and a feature, right? And so they have the qualifying on the Friday, and on the Saturday they have the sprint race, and they reverse the top 10.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the funny thing about qualifying. You watch them qualifying, and you watch one of these guys from 10 below. If one of those can just get 10th, they start pole the following day.
Mm. Is that good for the fastest person, though? Like, is that not rewarding the fastest driver?
But you get to see that, you get to see talent that wouldn't usually be up the front as well, and then you get to see the number one guy coming through the pack from and seeing 10th. How good he is on passing.
So the guy who gets pole position for the main race, he starts 10th. And generally, they'll come up 5 spots. And if they're really good, they'll win races from 10th.
And that's when you can split the 10th. Real talent from the average
And do
talent.
You think that's needed?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It adds another dynamic to the racing, yeah.
But
100%.
Do you think it's needed to bring talent through to showcase talent? Because, like, just from an outside point of view, I find it strange because it's not rewarding the fastest driver, and if I'm trying to make comparisons to Moto2, Moto3, it would be very strange to see a David Alonso who qualifies so well or whatever then start 10th and then have to risk it to get through the field.
But they still start on pole for the sprint race, yeah.
For the main race.
Sorry, I thought it was a main race.
No. The feature race is like the normal position. Yeah, gotcha. Sprint race is when they do the race.
And they award half the points.
Okay. I thought it was a main race. That's why I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
No. It's just to mix up the format, keep it interesting. Because generally, another reason they did is because generally over the last, because you've always had three really quality high teams, you know, that are always at the front. And that's why Prema Racing. They've got F3 teams and they've got F2 teams. And
that a junk car.
Piastri won his titles with Prema, a few others. And that car has sometimes made those drivers look better. They even Mick Schumacher won the F2 championship. But it was in that car. That's why people were like, oh, I'm not sure about, is he really that good? You know, because he won in a Prema that was a dominant. They were dominant that year.
So in F2 and F3, the cars aren't fully equal. Like just say a Moto 3 bike.
No, generally the F2 and F3 cars.
F3 is probably more controlled. So, yeah. More controlled. Yeah.
That's what you'd want in those junior
F2,
series.
F2, they still have a say of the chassis and all that kind of thing. Like Prema last year had Beerman and Antonelli.
That's right.
And they were probably the two top talents. Yeah. And the car was shit.
Okay,
that's what swung up for Toto Wolff. When Sainz got the flu in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, so he couldn't race the weekend, Beerman had just taken pole position in F2, okay? So they, because he's a Ferrari reserve driver, they put him in the car on Saturday, and he qualified 9th and finished 5th, I think.
Fifth or sixth.
You know, first time out and stuff. And because his teammates with Antonelli, Antonelli had beaten him for the first half of the year, but that's what made Toto go, it's a no-brainer, I'm putting this kid in the Merc. Because if that's his teammate and he's beating his teammate in F2, that reassures me this guy can do it.
Mm. And it's a huge following in Europe, F2 and F3.
Well, you've got to remember as well, and we've
spoken... The budgets are crazy.
We've spoken about this
$1.5 million to get...
fans? Like, it's a huge following.
What you're trying to get at is everyone who watches MotoGP usually watches Moto2 and Moto3.
Yeah.
Because the difference is it's a 40-minute race.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shorter watch.
If you watch, you're sitting down on a Saturday afternoon, you're watching an F1 race, it's 2 hours. If you're going to watch all three, it's fucking 5.5. People don't have the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in Europe, it's a lot more popular, but in here, it's not. Not as popular.
Having said that, it's really weird. The last 2 years, they've brought F2 and F3 to Australia.
Yeah, they have.
And I thought it was a one-off, but they did it, and they're coming back this year again.
And it's been good. It's been good
to see. Because of the new track at Melbourne, because of the four DRS zones, this is what makes it, because back to the more so the F3s and the F2s, it's just like a mosquito fleet, like the Moto3.
But remember those F2s coming out of turn two, that their downshift... Also, their upshift is so aggressive.
Yeah,
you felt that. It's just those.
And
cars.
Again, it sounded better than the
of course,
actual
because they're smaller V8 engines V6 engines. But yeah, the talent does come through like all categories. But there's usually two or three teams that are always at the front or close to the front. Yeah. But the downside is because of these reverse grids and qualifying can be so like. Unpredictable sometimes that the guy who's leading the championship, like Hadjar, he didn't win the title. He was favourite. This guy's in the Red Bull this year next to Sonoda. He was heavy favourite all year. But then the back half of the season, he had a shocking back half of the season.
He stalled on the last race as well, and he lost
the championship. Yeah, that was the other thing.
In Abu Dhabi,
it's a bit of an eye-gazing.
Thing, boys, and my question would be, are we going to have a new Formula One world champion next year? Norris, Piastri, Russell?
That's a good question.
I'm still saying Max.
Yeah, really.
Just for the simple reason that the three other teams, Ferrari's probably the best poised because of Leclerc.
Well, I think constructors-wise, I think Ferrari has the best chance.
Well,
if you said new champion, you have a better driver.
Driver's championship.
No, I mean drivers, but I'm just saying in constructors, I think Ferrari has the best chance.
In the second half of last year, it's a ridiculous question to ask, but do you know roughly who got the most points?
Because the top,
but driver, was it Norris?
It was Norris and Piastri.
The top six, the
last half of the season. Sorry, Tom.
No, that's right. The top six. If you look at the last six races of the year, the top six drivers were all within 25 points. It was the closest it's ever been in the last six races ever.
And Norris and Piastri were the top two.
Just, I mean, it was a matter of handful
from
of points.
From Spa onwards, it was McLaren taking majority of the podiums. Yeah. And they fluffed about four wins.
Yeah,
cost Tom a lot of money.
It did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they didn't get that fifth win. It's just ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah, so McLaren should have won more. And that's because they were sharing the poles in the front rows. So therefore, those two guys, because they finished most in the post, they got like 70 points each in the last seven races.
If we're talking drivers' championships, I don't want to say it, but I think it's going to be Lando. I think there was going to be a new world champion.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd love that to happen. I'd love to see that.
I hate it.
Okay, I'll get that. But I'm just looking at it from a point of view.
It'd be good for the championship.
It's still Max because it's a one-car team. It's all pointing to him to win.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, and that pit wall will outsmart those other three teams.
Well, that's their kryptonite right now of McLaren.
Yeah,
but they're fluffing too many
That's the thing.
Strategies.
Because not just that. I've said this before on here. Red Bull back Max to the hilt. Right, they just give him the best strategy. Any of us that says, "Oh, you're going to be two laps short," we don't care. We'll still go with that because he'll make that up. That's the difference between the Red Bull pit wall. Is the other three kept looking at this data sheet, going, "Oh no, it's not going to work. We won't try it," you know. And that's what stuffs up. Hamilton's just as good in that situation of overcoming the deficit.
Hamilton's done, I think.
I agree.
He's just not there. He hasn't got that split.
The guy's
second.
40.
Yeah.
He's just turned 40.
I think Piastri is going to have a real big chance. Yeah. Real big chance.
And this is why come back to me. Piastri is really good. He's already ruffled Lando's feathers. You know, Lando didn't see this coming.
No.
You know, what happened last year a couple of times there. And
can't,
that's why he moved
can't
out
be
the
like
way.
That, though. You can't react like that, Lando.
Yeah, but he didn't expect it.
Matter. Though. You're going to be cool, calm, collected.
No, you're right. But in his head, he thought he was going to be the number one in that team. You know, and he's not. Like, they're giving him equal status. This is back to my point about Max. Like, and if Leclerc starts wiping Hamilton, now what I mean wipe, you know, if the car's half decent, I can see Leclerc getting front rows. And then if they're all even again, like last year, this is the four cars, then Lewis will be more towards the back of that top eight than the, at the front. So he's overcoming. The best analogy, I had a chat with Jerry about this, is that in 2008, the Ferrari just wasn't quite to Kimi's liking. It just won the championship. And Massa was getting front rows, and Kimi was qualifying fifth and sixth for most of the year and getting involved in other people's first corner accidents. That's why he didn't defend his championship, you know, because he just couldn't master that car, you know. And this is what I'm trying to relate to Lewis. Lewis ain't out qualifying Leclerc. It's just not happening.
No.
He's 40.
But then again, you look at Leclerc, I don't think
he's next to Max as one of the he's probably the
talent,
fastest.
100% talent, but up here. Agreed. Just that Agreed. World championship mentality.
But having Lewis there as the rocket to go, well, I've got to be on it now. This guy. Yeah. That's the difference. I think with Sainz, my belief with Sainz was that he knew he had his measure, so he relaxed too much and started making those mistakes.
Mm, we'll see. Time will tell.
So who are you tipping, Tom, for the championship then?
Well, Piastri, let's go. Okay. Yeah.
I'll say Max, you're saying Lando.
Yeah.
So more McLaren. McLaren are the form, but...
Mm. Who knows if F1, though, seriously.
Yeah, but who would have thought it? The first seven races... I mean. No, you guys were hardly talking about F1.
Yeah.
Because Max won like seven of the first eight races.
Yeah, I know.
And then out of nowhere, you're turning up here on Monday. I'm watching. I'm like, oh, we've got a different F1 winner again. And
yeah, I know.
It was
surprised
exciting.
Everybody, but it just surprised everybody.
If you look
at
our exuberance from talking about F1 from the third round to the 20th round, chalk and cheese.
It was so interesting to watch because you just didn't know who was going to win. That's the whole point of motorsport.
That is motorsport.
It was an incredible year. And it's going to be an incredible year. It has to be. It has all the recipe to be a great dish.
It does.
So.
I've been working hard, Danby. I've been working hard.
I can see.
I've been getting the Thailand body ready.
Thailand body?
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I'm conditioning myself. Extra alcohol.
Yeah, no worries, Tom.
Can anyone message us listening as well? We are going to be in Thailand, so we're going to...
We need to make a big announcement. Have you made the big announcement yet, Tom?
No. What's the big
announcement? Well, the big announcement is, it's hot off the press, that you're going to Buriram. And, you know... The fanfare begins when you come back to Tullamarine the day before the Australian Grand Prix.
I know.
Tom has been spreading the word. Tom, can you just
wait? What are you
shout
saying?
It out?
What are you saying?
Tom, come on, mate.
I don't know what I'm saying.
they go to Thailand and they get back.
We land back on the Wednesday.
No, down the camera.
On the Wednesday? No, I'm going to put so you look at me. The Wednesday, we get home at midday on the Wednesday.
Right.
Sleep, recover, wake up Thursday morning, straight to the F1s.
Oh, it's crazy.
Tommy High Flyer.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I'm going to have my tan on.
Wow.
It's going to be
On my predictions, you're going to lose weight from a sweat, though. I know you're going to drink a lot of alcohol.
1,000%.
But you're going to lose weight, man.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's basically a work/health retreat for you.
That's what I tell the missus.
Hilarious.
That's hilarious.
You're missing one key important
thing. Go on.
His glasses are going to be constantly fogged.
Oh, you're going to
stay permanent.
Like no, Curtis, I actually bought
anti-fog spray.
No. Go on. I bought these cool gold glasses, no rim, just for Thailand. They look fucking awesome, and they don't fog up.
Are these reading glasses?
No, they're fucking distance, but I'm going to walk around like I'm fucking... smoking darts with the big fucking chain around my thing.
And we're going to do a couple of pods over there. It's going to be gold.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, pissed.
That'd be fun.
Well, you can come on one, Danby, but you just got to look at us this time.
If you fucking fix this microphone, I'll fucking look over the fuck you want me to look.
No swearing, I said. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, hot takes. Curtis is fucking heating up. Come on.
Getty. All right. Hot takes first for 2025, fellas. Ooh. Get around
Let's do it. Let's Keep do them it. Coming in.
At Big Griffin. Vinales will be the only KTM to win this year.
Harsh. Well, you guys think Acosta's
going to
be
up KTM.
Top? Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Nah.
That's a crazy statement, isn't it? The fraud's already starting.
What is interesting about that take, stay with me, if the bike is shit, somehow, somewhere, Vinales will have an amazing weekend.
He'll win a race.
That's what he's counting on.
That's the whole point of Vinales.
He's counting on like a Spargo at a Barcelona, just having a one-off weekend, you know?
But remember, he's not starting on fraud watch.
No, he's not. He's clean.
It will be very funny if that race, if he wins at Austin again.
It would be the greatest.
Given what happened
ever.
12 months ago, a lot of people got sucked in.
Oh, don't even. I've spoken about it too many times.
Including
me.
I
you all did.
I had to win in the next race. I did. I jumped on him.
Did you get sucked in as well,
Dan? I think I did.
It's funny, isn't it? He's just got to pull you in.
You know, someone's going to challenge Bagnaia.
He tickles the balls. He does.
I've actually never seen anything like it. And I think about this more often than not.
Yeah. Curtis is laughing.
It's messed up, and it's world renowned. This Curtis, it's world renowned.
Maverick Vinales lives rent free in your fucking head.
I think agree. We live rent free in his head. He fucking blocked
block.
Us.
Yeah, the block thing.
He rent. We're rent free in his head.
We are blocked. We're still blocked.
Okay.
He has a shit arm. He needs a new marketing team. I guess I'm blocked, mate. Come on, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, you just gotta. We actually love him. We're actually his biggest fans. It's a crazy thing. At Nikolai Alexander, just found your page. Your content is fire. Thank you, Nikolai
good
Alexander.
Good shout out.
Get going.
Good man from America, from Ohio, from Ohio.
He corrected me. What's his name?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Jason?
No. Sorry, I've forgotten. Far out. De Silva, what's his name? Drayson Silva.
Is that's it? What I said.
Sorry, Drayson's from South Carolina, not from Ohio.
That'll sound the same.
True. 3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Jump, our boy.
Inauguration. Get around him.
Go.
Politics podcast now. The _ learner _7, Mark Marquez to equal Rossi's 9 world titles. Good shout.
Good shout.
Good shout.
Well, how many more has he got to go? One. Yeah, good shout.
At Moto Heaven fan favorite /founder, I guess you could say, Adrian Letty.
Oh, yeah.
Aussies punch well above their weight in Moto.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, for sure. We do world sport for the population we have.
Yeah, 20-something million.
Yeah.
Aussies, Daniel Chucky Stearns has just won a Dakar.
Amazing. We haven't talked about that.
Nah. And an incredible effort. So congratulations to him. We've put up a few things on our our Instagram.
From and the team at Motorsport Republica, congratulations. Yep. An amazing effort.
On a Red Bull KDM, you know, Toby Price has won that as well. Then you've got Hunter and Jet Lawrence, who obviously dominate motocross. Australia win motocross designations. You've got then all our world champions in MotoGP doing... Stoner.
It's funny about
Troy Bayliss and World Superbikes.
It's funny about Troy the Dakar. Corsa. The Dakar got more coverage than what Jet and Hunter ever got.
I know. Wow.
It's crazy. It's interesting. I think it's because, I don't know, it's just people can relate more to it. I'm not sure.
It's such a famous race. Obviously, it's not as the same as what it was back in the day. But it's the Aussies punch well above their weight. When you go up against the Americans, you might have America of 360 million. Crazy. You know, and then the Europeans of their breeding ground of talent. It is
puffing their weight. Yeah. Punching well above their weight.
Yeah.
And we're showing them.
And then Oscar Piastri with racing.
Oh, yeah.
Four wheels, I should say.
We've had an amazing history in Formula One with going back to Alan Jones and.
Yeah, it is weird in the sense that every couple of generations we seem to get another F1 driver coming along.
It is amazing. Yeah.
You know, because after Webber's like, what happens after Webber? Then Danny Rick come along, you know.
And then so marketable. It was a face of F1 for a bit.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's good to see. And that's a bit of Aussie patriotism for Australia Day coming up as well.
Yeah. 100%. Happy Australia Day, everyone.
Yeah.
Good call, James.
Get around it, seriously. At @heart_Melbourne, Max is Max, but it's the first time since maybe 2010 where there's no clear favourite for the title.
Great call.
Yeah. We just mentioned that. Yeah,
we just talked about it a little bit, but it's good to be noticed.
There'll be 6 drivers in single figures for the championship on Sportsbet, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
Is it? What's the likelihood, there's a prediction, that the championship goes down to the last round?
Oh, yeah.
Gee whiz.
Every chance. Remember that double points?
No, that was silly. A few years back. That was stupid.
Yeah, Rosberg and Hamilton. Yeah.
Almost happened too.
Yeah, it did. That was
silly. What's the chances? You give us a percentage.
70% chance it will go down the last race.
Wow, that's a big. Yeah,
I reckon. It's a fair call. I reckon it's a fair shout.
We might be there. Yas Marina. What do you reckon? Get some cheap tickets for us, Danby? Slither our way
next.
In there.
Is that enough? At our boy, It's Cold Papa. James is going to win both F1 and MotoGP prediction championships again this year. Now, double champ.
What's good is we're going to probably send our predictions straight to him. So he wants to control the whole thing this year, Papa. So James has no tweaking of the results.
I'm like I'm like 2016 to 2023 meta fact checkers. I actually control everything. It's not community guidelines like it is now. It's I'm actually controlling
meta fact checker. I like that.
Yeah.
And last one, fan favourite, Braden underscore Hardcastle, Aigura to finish top 10 in the championship and finish Raul's career.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
Second part. I think the second part.
Yeah, the ladder. The ladder.
Well, he's got a two-year deal. He's still got this year and next year, Raul.
They rate Raul for some reason. Yeah. They rate him highly from all reports. So
I know. It's wild. Crazy.
But
they do. No, they do.
Yeah, they do. There must be something in the data. Fuck me. There has to be something in the data. It's the only explanation I've got.
Now, we're going to wrap this up because Curtis had a noise complaint from his neighbour driving his V4 home last week. So we're going to wrap it up so he can get home. So thanks, guys.
I didn't know that Uber was so loud on the way home, though, tonight.
Mate, they got some custom exhausts on there. Just an FYI, Ducati Lenovo live on MotoGP on Instagram right now to show off their new bikes.
Beautiful. We might watch that now.
Yeah. All good.
Thanks, awesome. Sammy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All
thanks, guys.
Good to see you again.
Yep.